This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
The promise of America is being squandered. How are we going to restore our nation back to a sensible, citizen-centric government? Welcome to Reimagine America with Joyce Cordy. Joyce is a businesswoman, not a politician, and she's here to offer pragmatic, possible, and postpartisan solutions for the 21st century. Now, here's your host for Reimagine America, Joyce Cordy.
I don't know about you, but I am totally, as in falling asleep in front of the TV, bored with politics at the moment. The last 7 weeks have been draining. The pundit class is bitterly divided between conspiracy theorists and end of democracy theorists, while the pundits and politicians have been wailing and railing about the just concluded election. The only pragmatist in the midst has been Joe Biden, quietly building for the next administration following the announcement of Pennsylvania's vote on the 7th of November and the major news organization subsequently calling the election for him. Joe Biden knows one thing. He knows he's going to inherit a very big mess, a mess that's getting bigger every day. So he doesn't think there's a day for him to waste. Recent news of a COVID vaccine, as fabulous as it is significantly overblown. Most of us will have to wait, well, maybe as much as another 5 or 6 months for our place in line to get our first inoculations. And if COVID and a resulting depression-era unemployment rate were not enough, the Russians have penetrated our information technology systems across the whole of government and a portion of private industry. They've been hanging around for about 9 months. We don't know. We have no scope yet of either the purpose of the intrusion or the extent of the damage they may have done. We do know that at the Energy Department, yep, those people who maintain our nuclear power plants and our nuclear weapons system stores, well, they know they've been hit, as does the Pentagon, where there's some fear that some new weapons system information may have been exposed. Treasuries acknowledge that top officials' emails have been compromised. And the NSA at this point has no idea what has the scope of the attack on our intelligence gathering systems. And our response on the civilian side is further hampered, of course, by the decapitation of the head of the Homeland Security Cybersecurity Agency for the high crime of running a fair, secure election. Entirely absent from all of this crisis, urgent government business has been the White House. Now, Mike Pence did show up for his camera-ready COVID vaccine, and we're told that the president is planning to veto the vital defense authorization bill, which includes money for cyber defense and cyber offense and service member pay increases. All the while, the president's refusing to acknowledge the size and scope of this well-planned cyber attack. He's defied his own cabinet officers, refusing to acknowledge the obvious. The Russians did it. We don't know yet why, but we know who. We don't know how bad, but we know where to look. Just this past Wednesday, President Trump threatened to veto the COVID relief bill, the bill that everybody in Congress has been falling over themselves to compromise, to accomplish, because unemployment assistance runs out on the day after Christmas for millions and millions of Americans. So they did this quick $900 billion COVID relief package, and they combined it with the continuing resolution to fund the government through September 30th, 2021. And now the president says, you know what? I might just veto that bill. If he does that, if he goes through with that threat, then the government will shut down on Monday the 29th, the entire United States government, because there will be no authorization, no budget. More critical, more urgent unemployment assistance, rental assistance, small business assistance, all those things that tens of millions of Americans desperately need in the midst of the winter of COVID, all that stands in abeyance unless Congress can override the presidential veto before New Year's Eve. And all the while, the president tells us he has been working harder over these past months than ever before in his life. And I am quoting, but you know what he's doing? He's working to overturn an election he clearly lost by any means, fair or foul. Head-scratchingly, to keep a job which clearly he hates doing. He doesn't like doing the work. He only does it when he absolutely has to under duress and for only a few minutes, like walking to the cameras and saying, I'm going to veto the Defense Authorization Act, all of this complex legislation to fund our national security, because I don't like the idea that they want to rename some installations, military installations that are currently named for Confederate generals. That for that reason, he would veto the entire bill. So that's what he's been working on, overturning an election he clearly lost by any means, fair or foul. No sane person, forget patriotic American, would do what Trump and his allies have suggested, which is, at its heart, basically, rip all the pretty words away. What he wants to do is tear up the Constitution in order to keep himself in power. Power is the strongest aphrodisiac there is. Melania will vouch for that. Trump supporters have been sniffing that aphrodisiac for the last 4 years. But if you're a blue-collar, middle-aged American worker in the Rust Belt, or an Arizona retired snowbird, or a Midwestern soybean farmer, what has Donald Trump's presidency done to improve your life? Maybe your 401k is up $1,000, nice on paper, but are your job prospects better? Your children's education improved? Do you feel more secure in your home and about your future? How is that conversation you have with yourself in the middle of the night going? I mean, really, when you're honest with yourself. Are you happy to permit more carbon pollution into the atmosphere? To allow fewer protections for the natural wonders of this glorious country? Are you sure Social Security will be there for you when you need it? Did your taxes really go down? Did you even notice the difference? Did manufacturing jobs come rushing back to the Rust Belt? Are airports, bridges, and highways in your region of the country rebuilt, more modern, more accessible? How much of your support for Trump is either based on what he likes to call fake, well, on what really is fake news? Not what he calls fake news, but what really is fake news. Propaganda you listen to, even when that little inner voice is just saying, wait a second, what you're saying isn't logical or sensible. Yeah, that fake news that's brought to you by people who earn a lot more money than you do, who are paid to spout what they know is nonsense. Trump-based voter Trump base voter, I know you're angry. I know you're scared. This century has not been kind to you. But still, forgive me, I have to ask, how much of what you inhaled over the last 4 years contained some element of racism, some element of fear of the other? As someone who has lived my whole life understanding and experiencing the subtlest form of racism in America today, let me quote FDR. We as a people have nothing to fear but fear itself. I promise you, we should not be, we need not be, we ought not to be afraid of one another. Think about any other time in the post-Civil War period in this nation. That last 150 years have brought us the most diverse patterns of immigration in the country's history, from the Irish, Italians, and Scandinavians to World War I, World War II, and Korean War refugees, Vietnamese War refugees, Northern and Southern Hemispheric Hispanics, and victims of the African Civil Wars. And yet, until this moment, this dwindling year 2020, in the moments of crisis, we have all drawn together in common purpose to do our part to serve and sacrifice for the good of our communities and the good of the nation. Can you recall in the aftermath of any hurricane, earthquake, flood, or terrorist incident, when people did not emerge from the rubble and immediately begin working without a thought, without anyone telling them to do it, to rescue and comfort their neighbors? To rescue and comfort their neighbors, regardless of race, religion, age, economic status, or native language. Think back to the important role that Navajo code trackers played in our success in World War II in the Pacific Theater, despite persistent animosity from their neighbors back home in Arizona and New Mexico. Did the brave men on Flight 93 stop to check everybody's background when faced with the impossible choice to try to save themselves or to save the nation's capital? Did the kids at Parkland High School check the skin color of their injured classmates before they jumped in to help the best they could? I'm going to ask you a question. What changed in the last 4 years? Why has wearing a potentially life-saving mask in the middle of a pandemic led neighbor to threaten the safety and security of their neighbor? Why can't a small minority of Americans understand and accept that a majority of their fellow countrymen wanted a change in government this past November? A change in tone, a change in governing attitude, pragmatism over partisanship, something that might just accomplish a couple of things that make your life better as an average American. What has changed in that 4 years is Donald Trump, who has used and abused the levers of power to help his friends and punish others. 15 pardons announced so far this week, including 3 former congressmen convicted by juries of their constituents for using their public offices to enrich themselves, just as Trump and his children have. And then there are the 4 men, Blackwater contractors, who were convicted not once, but twice by American juries, by juries of their peers, of first-degree murder in Iraq, including the murder of 17 adults and 2 children under the age of 11. And they're walking free today because Eric Prince is the brother of the current Secretary of Education. I promise you, this is a space that will criticize a lot of what Joe Biden will propose in the coming months and years. Some of it literally sets my hair on fire. But you know what? That has always been the beauty of America. The storming, the norming, and then the forming of a more perfect but still striving union. I pray that we can learn again to listen to one another without rancor and suspicion, without applying labels to every idea, instead of just seeing what's been said as just an idea. Then maybe, just maybe, we can begin again, a nation defined by our pragmatism, by practicing the art of the possible for the betterment of the majority of our citizens. Our compassion, our innate sense of optimism and entrepreneurship, our ability to disagree with one another without being disagreeable. A place where losing an election does not tear at the fabric of our constitutional system of government. Have a safe and Merry Christmas.
Thanks for listening to Reimagine America with Joyce Cordy. You can learn more at reimagineamerica.org. Got a comment or an idea for a future show? Email Joyce at reimagineamerica.org or find her on Twitter at Joyce Cordy or at Reimagine Radio. Take a minute now and go to reimagineamerica.org. Join the forum. We'd love to hear your thoughts. If you love the podcast, donate and tell others. You can invite Joyce to speak at your next meeting or conference through reimagineamerica.org. And finally, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast at ricochet.com or c-suitenetwork.com. That's c-suitenetwork.com. Together, we really can reimagine America.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.